Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
John Ward,
Iola Hegarty,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, John, you were saying that you were doing some useful things during your lockdown period with the virus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. My hobby.
Mm.
And I'm providing music for the broadcasting all over the city, you see, and I keep this music going continuously. I've had for the last 20 odd years.
So you've got a radio station?
A radio station.
Do you broadcast from home?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's all in-house. Mm. and it's all over the town. And to provide the program, I've had to collect records, of course. That's my hobby. And the gramophone was built. And this latest lockdown...
Sorry, you said the gramophone was built.
I built a gramophone way back in 1946.
Oh, okay.
47, I started building.
Because part of your training, you were building sound systems. And
well, that was all that came out after.
Mm, oh, okay.
Using the gramophone.
Yep.
But this lockdown was a reenactment of what happened in the poliomyelitis affair that happened in 47 and went through to 48, mm, where we had to rely on our wits of learning from the correspondence school and the likes, in place of going to school, because you couldn't congregate in any more
Okay. So you saw it quite... This was quite similar. You lived through the polio epidemic in the late 40s, and I think also 1950, there were several waves, weren't there?
In 1952, yeah, there was another one.
Okay, so you lived through those, and then there was the COVID-19 lockdown, when everyone was supposed to stay home except for essential services and so on. And you think, as far as you're concerned, the two are very similar.
The lockdown part
of it.
Were
you sort of locked down at home and not allowed out and not mixing with friends?
You could mix with only four people. We used that time for taking off in the first one. And taking off, we rode our push bikes. We all had push bikes.
So this is, but then it was for children, you mean then? With
for everybody.
Polio, was it adults were
everybody,
restricted?
Everybody
was restricted?
Yes, because one couldn't go into the pictures any time. There was no such thing as a picture show. There wasn't the swimming bars were out. Anywhere where there's a congregation of people.
So the whole society was sort of locked down.
Mm-hmm.
Were people doing normal jobs, carrying on? Or
yes, but it was difficult. You had to do your shopping. You weren't sort of congregate in crowds in town. And there were very few vehicles. Most people walked to town.
Okay.
It was just after the war.
Yes. Okay.
And
how long did that one last?
From around October of 47 through to May, June of 48.
Oh, so just under 5 weeks of level four lockdown, the strict lockdown, was really quite short compared to your experience then.
Mm.
Okay.
Very much so. And
was there strong compliance then with the polio one, do you know? Did you kids sort of
we tried to beat
run
it.
Off and
we just ran off and did our thing.
And what happened then? Were you caught? And
No.
So you were in the country, were you?
Or? No, I was in town here.
In town here?
Mm.
Oh, in Palmerston North?
Mm.
Okay.
But I lived my life on a push bike.
Yeah.
And things to do were the school. The correspondence school was I couldn't be bothered with it. didn't latch. It's not like playing games.
For sort of six or 8 months, you did no schooling?
I did. My father taught me.
But not using the correspondence material?
Oh,
or
I think
he might have
based it on that.
Yeah. Because I remember the polio 47. And my memory is that we had radio school.
Correspondence school.
That's right.
Yeah, we were looking at that.
Yeah, so we... I grew up in Wellington, so we sat around the table. But my memory actually is that we actually had the children from next door also in the room. But
well, you were maybe saying that shouldn't have happened. Four children.
More than four people. Yeah.
Four people.
Four people.
Okay. So were you able to mix with your friends to some extent then during that time?
Yes, I had my friends, the very stalwart friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what we did. We used to tow each other around the streets with our cart and on push bike and things like that.
I don't suppose they used the term bubble and stay in your bubble.
No, there was no such. No, there was no. We were out in the open air most of the time.
Yeah.
I was very young.
It was right through Christmas.
But it was, my memory of it was that it was a wee bit scary because your parents sort of treated you like you were very special.
Yeah, they'd be worried, yeah.
They were really worried. And of course, we heard stories about people being in iron lungs and things that.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Don't you?
No.
And having calipers on their feet.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was a real concern.
That's a bit later, would it, though, rather?
Yeah, I probably did, but you sort of knew that that's what polio did, so you needed to be careful.
I had no idea what polio, no.
Okay.
No, except that people's arms withered up. That's what we were told. Things like that.
Yes.
I knew no one until I went back to school. There was one girl in our class family. It was in her family. But she was all right.
So the fact that it was down for 6 months, was that what?
Oh, yes, a good 6 months.
Would that have been what they thought was the time frame for a disease?
After that,
yes, it was dying out after that. They didn't have the Salk vaccine. That didn't turn up in 2 or 3 years.
No. I was married by the time Salk came along, I think.
And there was another small epidemic in 52. I joined a brass band by then, and our conductor, his son, Ted Fleetwood, had a young Edward, he was affected as a baby. And that was sad. But he grew up with this withered arm.
Yes.
Typical of the problem. I haven't seen them since.
So you think your experience of going through the polio episode led you to have expectations about the COVID lockdown,
consider it until I was actually physically experiencing what I had experienced all these years ago. It was the time when I had been introduced to a gramophone, and I started clicking records with this gramophone in 46, and I wanted my sound to be a little bit different from the old scratchy old records, you see. So you couldn't buy an amplifier or a radiogram, a proper record playing thing. And it was just simply, there was my father had this shop, his cohort in the shop, who looked after the shop whilst he was in the Air Force, also built amplifiers for his guitar so he could perform. And he was in the local band groups here and performed with old Johnny McGrath and Nipia Tafaru and those boys. And him and his guitar, he was always the rhythm guy.
You had the father and the shop and so on. Could those things carry on as normal?
Yes, the shop, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I said polio only affected children, didn't affect adults?
I don't know. I haven't heard of that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And my father actually got me organised apart from the schooling, but the business of when I'd asked the question to this bloke who'd been making his amplifiers for his guitar, he decided he'd turn our radiogram into our air zone radio into a radiogram, and I had to go and look for a electric pickup. That when he was building this thing, I was complaining.
So you mean you needed a turntable and then the arm and the needle and so on?
Yeah. I had to buy that. Okay. Yeah. The second hand, I got something in a second hand shop. Okay. And very cheap. And he put it all together. But then I started to criticise the tone. I wanted more bass and a bit more of this and a bit more of that. And he got fed up with me. He said, look, I can't do this. He said, look, why don't you do it yourself? And I said, I have no idea how to do this. So he said, I'll teach you. He did. He wrote bits of things on the circuit, so things on the plane.
How old were you then?
It was 1940. I was just on 12 years old.
So 46?
47.
47,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, getting
so you were born 1935?
I'm the 12th. So no, 32. I was instigated in 36.
Ah, okay. And you actually arrived in 37?
Yeah, that's the one.
So you were about 9 years old. You'd be about 9 years old.
No, no, I was younger than that. No, I was older than that. I was 11 years old.
So about 48.
In my 12th year.
Yeah, okay.
So he had the problem of teaching me. And after that.
So had you done anything like that before, or was it?
No, no, it was all right out of out of the blue.
Yeah.
But he wrote these circuits, little simple circuits, for me to, and I went to the local Coles radio shop and bought the little components, and father supplied me with a little electric soldering iron and soldering things. Then he sent me on along to G.H. Bennett, the bookshop. There'd been a display of books in there, the record guide.
Yeah.
I want you to buy one of those, son, he says.
So that Bennett's has been around for a really long time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a local shop or a
very much
New Zealand
national? No,
just local.
Bennett.
Because then it was taken over by Whitcourt, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that was years later.
But it did go to Wellington. Part of the university there.
Yes, yeah.
I went to school with old Bruce McKenzie, who, in fact, worked in that.
Yeah.
And he fell in love with
it. He set up his own shop, yes.
Yeah, but he fell in love with the boss's daughter.
Yeah.
And, always a good idea.
And that's how that sort of went panned out. He took Bennett's over for a while.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm. So you're talking about Mina McKenzie,
are you?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I had this business of trying to wire up these circuits for making the tone where I wanted to hear it, and using my ears and simply that. And I learnt the capacitors of certain size, different sounds to the treble, and resistors of a certain size, the combination of the two gave me a particular tone that it had a core resonance. And it was that started life on the gramophone for me. And so that time with the soldering iron and all that study and listening to my records and all that sort of thing, reading about it, that was the other book I read. It was a very amusing book too. It was written by a couple of journalists from England, Edward Desmond Shaw Taylor and Edward Sackville West were the two.
Sackville West, yes. Okay.
They were music critics. And also giving you a practical how to handle gramophone records.
Famous artistic name.
So you really were a do it yourself acoustic engineer?
Yeah, from that moment. You couldn't buy it, you had to make it. And that's a very good thing Hitler did for us. By sinking our ships, turned us into do-it-yourselfers. And it was exactly the same scenario for this COVID thing. Just carried on intensifying my work on the gramophone.
So, okay, so you built a gramophone back in the late 1940s, and now, sort of 70-odd years later, you had a lockdown. And you finished off making the...
No, I just carried on. I've been building
it. You've been expanding, and it's the same gramophone, yes. Still, and it'll be working soon, is that...?
No, it's all going. It never stopped.
Yes.
So you're just refining it?
I was just refining it, yes. Yes.
So that was your... You were just working on the sound quality?
Mm.
through lockdown.
And particularly as I'm broadcasting, I'm arranging the program so it's sort of easy to listen to and follow in respect to the composers that
Which means what?
You can't mix up Shostakovich with Mozart.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an impossibility. I mean, one's very, very modern, loud and execrable sort of loud metallic sounds and things going on.
So you must really know your audience.
Yes, I've learnt to know my audience. I've belonged to gramophone groups for years.
Right.
Since the British Music Society's gramophone group, I joined in 49 and met Merle Killington and girls like that who started up in the country library.
Okay, so knowing your audience, then you know what they want, and they know that you'll deliver.
Mm.
Well,
and they were the first ones to respond to my broadcasting.
Mm.
So I was going to say, how do you find out about your audience?
They ring me up.
They ring you up.
No, one lady
What's
rang
this rubbish
me up.
You play?
No, I had one lady ringing you up and saying, you got rid of the cat, because the cat would come in. And I'd be on the microphone, and then we go meow.
So you did a lot of connecting stuff between the people. You'd announce what they were.
Yeah,
so
occasionally I had. Yeah, yeah. And particularly the opera. I've got to give the story out. But this cat would meow, interrupt me, and it put me off. In fact, and so I said, I've got to get rid of the cat. So excuse me, and I got up to the chair and threw the cat out. You see, and out of the door. After it finished,
and you had suitable sound effects to play.
Well, it was actually silence because it was on the microphone.
Well, of course, you know, with radio, you don't have to dress up or do any of those things you have to do on TV. So
no,
that
there was a good one on the TV the other day where they had this announcer standing at this Zoom.
Oh, well, that's what they do with Zoom. Yeah, you only have to dress from the waist up. Yeah.
So, John, we always know you're sitting there with your suit jacket on and your collar and tie.
Exactly that.
That was interesting, though, with the use of Zoom for the meeting up with video through the internet, which got very popular, and a lot of people, it was their first introduction to that sort of thing, and they really liked it. But now we're just over 5 weeks into 5.5 weeks into level one, where there's no restrictions locally, just only restrictions at the border. And so suddenly everybody's all over the place, they're not home, and all the regular Zoom things have just sort of collapsed, really.
Yes, it's a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Actually, what we found about most of the elderly people, like me, found computers a bit of a hazard, and things sort of go and they don't understand what goes, and things disappear on the screen and what the problem with you.
Yeah.
And you had to explain what to do.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of people out there don't have people like you hanging on the other end of it.
But there were quite a lot who always thought, no, can't do this.
Yes.
But then suddenly they have to. And they found, especially those who started early, which meant they were quite motivated and they didn't have the psychological barrier. And they found it was, because Zoom was relatively easy to use, you know, you just accept an invitation to a meeting or click on a link and you're there. And once it's set up, then if that's all you have to do, then you're fine.
Go for it.
And I think a lot who just hadn't experienced it before, they got quite sold on it. So.
Well, I thought it was a really good idea, but and thank you, Stuart, for inviting me to be part of a Zoom thing. But I'd lost my tooth, my front tooth, and there was no way I was going to proceed.
Well, you see,
with that.
That's because you weren't an advanced Zoom user. Because what you had the initial with Zoom, you could set up the fake backgrounds, and the camera would work out where are you and put you there, and then the rest is the background that you'd selected.
Yeah.
And you could even put in video backgrounds, make your own, or put photos up and so on. But later on, you could actually download an app which you could use instead of it was using the computer camera going through the app to be then the Zoom camera. And that would modify all sorts of things. One that I found that people really liked, and these are other people would design them and then you could just use them yourself.
Right.
And one, it identified where your face was, it would put a mask and snorkel on your face and have fish swimming around in front of and behind you.
Well, geez, so thanks, you had Stuart.
There was some that, I don't know if it was designed to look like the sort of masks that people were wearing because of COVID,
right.
But it would find your face and put a mask on.
There was an opportunity lost.
Losing your tooth, you could have been suitably disguised. Oh, there was one that even converted you into a talking mushroom or a potato, things like that. And it just said, where are your eyes and your...
True.
Yeah, those sorts of things. Yeah, where are your eyes and mouth? And then there was one, a picture of Donald Trump. Oh. They just put your eyes and mouth on that talking... So, yeah, there were quite a few things you could do there. So you didn't actually have to be fully visible
at all.
Yeah.
Well, next time. So, John, it was interesting because I think for me, even though I was a really small child when the polio things were happening, I have some memories of it, but my main memory, I think, was the fact that we didn't actually always have fresh bread, and I don't know whether that was a problem.
No.
Yeah, so it's but this is growing up in Wellington, not Mount Victoria, so it might have been slightly different, but it was. It was more that, for me, it was a worry about, have I got enough food?
Toilet paper? Because that's what everyone looks for this time.
I have no idea why that is. Why did everybody stock up on toilet paper?
They didn't run out with the polio thing? Toilet paper wasn't...
We had apple boxes, paper round our apples.
They still had our roast dinners on Sunday and things.
Yeah.
No.
But no, I don't remember anything about toilet paper, and it certainly is not something that I'd rush out to buy a whole heap of. No. But certainly.
Well, and then flour was a problem to start with as well.
Yes, right, we couldn't make bread.
A lot of flour.
Maybe that was because my mother did used to make her own bread.
No. Well, I was only making. I'm not making bread, but my lady. Housekeeping.
Yeah, that's right. For lockdown, you had someone come and stay in your house and make sure that you ate your meals and things like that. Yeah. Mm.
Gosh, where can I get someone like that?
Well, you got to know the right kids. one of my daughter's best friends.
Oh, okay.
And she got a government shift in her job from Wellington to Palmerston.
Oh, right.
And she had to find a place to live, and Dora Merrin said, she's a detective, she said, stay with me? I'd never seen this girl before, and she rang me up and said one morning on the phone, as I answered the phone, and she said, it's the cook here. Mommy a cook.
Now, did your daughter confirm this arrangement?
Not with
just someone say, "Well, I'll give him a ring."
Yeah, that's exactly what had happened. I didn't get much notice about it.
Has your daughter confirmed?
They were concerned about it, but
has your daughter? She's aware that this person was staying with you, and
they schemed it up between them.
Well, you know that your daughter's.
Yeah, they did.
Has your daughter told you that, or is it just this person?
No, they were best friends.
Knew who it was in the first place.
Only best friends because they had babies together in the same ward or whatever it is in the hospital.
So you knew who it was already?
I didn't know them. I'd never met this girl.
No, I actually...
an acquaintance. So did she have a baby with her then, when she was staying with you?
No, that was 30 years ago.
I'd had an acquaintance, and she actually was phoned up to take in a solo mum and child for the lockdown because they were homeless, and she did. Yeah, but, you know, I thought that was really good. But, you know, there's some good people out there.
You don't know them and you don't get on. You're stuck in the house
5 weeks, yeah. We should have thought about you, Stuart. You were here all along, weren't you?
Yeah, this girl actually was going to, my daughter,
yes,
was going to do all, she's been making my bed ever since my wife died.
Oh, okay.
And doing the housework for me. Yes. She's coming in on the way to work or on the way after work. But, and she never mentioned about this. We're talking about cooking and things.
Yes.
You see, with Merrin. And I said, no, I can do this budge and things. And so that's all I heard. That was the end of it. I wasn't expecting anybody to come and do the cooking.
Okay.
But this was so it worked out very well. You got on well.
She's only just bought a house.
Oh, how lovely.
And so she's moved into this brand new house, and it's an old Cora villa.
Mm. Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, so she took I spent a bit of time with her just buying bits for her new abode. And she's in and out, and the daughter's in and out. They're all coming around this afternoon, for instance.
Well, it's quite an achievement that you should have got on well through it, because I know some couples who live sort of semi-independent lives, and suddenly they're stuck in their same house together for 5 weeks, and by the end
murder, she said. No, I think the lockdown has been really interesting, and that, you know, for a lot of people it's strengthened their relationships. For others, it's been
great for garden centres, I think, probably. The number of people who started projects and then they had to shoot into their garden centre to buy plants and so on.
But something I really could not understand, that once we went into level 3, was it? And people lining up for McDonald's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How ridiculous was that?
I just said, they've been missing McDonald's for so long. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It was...
Talking about young people, though, aren't you?
Yeah, well, some were saying they were tired of their own cooking, but I think for some, they've not done much of their own cooking beforehand anyway.
But it was just the pride. We drove along Tremaine Avenue the day that happened, and the cars were all the way, really, to Botanical Road to Rangitiki.
Really?
It was ridiculous.
There was something I saw about an English couple with young kids, and the couple both worked in sort of graphic design. And so during the lockdown, they got online and they managed to get the sort of McDonald's type logos and images and so on, and print them out, make up the chips and burgers, and made it look as if it was a McDonald's. And so the kids sent photos of this to their friends, and the friends would say, how did you manage to get McDonald's?
So, could be some copyright issues there.
Yeah, it could be a bit of a worry. So it was an enjoyable experience for you, was it, John?
I've had plenty of people around, and I got back into the groups again. I had to stop the U3A group at the time.
You're running how many University of the Third Age groups?
I'm running nine different
groups.
Good grief.
All different aspects of music and film, is it?
Two in music, but different. Yeah.
So you got music, you got film.
Yes.
And what are the others?
Well, it starts off with music, and then we have the documentaries.
Yeah.
We feature Titanic and things like that. And recently the war. We've got British Rail.
Yeah.
And it's travelling through
the journeys.
Yes.
Yep.
With a very good description of all how the rail made the cities, all the towns.
Okay.
And then ballet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most recent one.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we've got British comedy films, but 90-minute films.
Oh,
and I sort of broke the mould a little bit.
What's the carry on? movies.
Yeah, it can be things like that. Yeah. And and I broke the model a little bit, and I played.
Is it Pinewood Studios, was it?
Yes, and but Ealing Studios.
Ealing Studios. Was
yeah, and Ealing Studios on this occasion with the very famous Lavender Mob.
Oh, okay. Lavender Hill Mob. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was fantastic. That was the last one I played. Yeah. I've got the whole set of those Ealing Studio ones.
Yeah.
So that's the first of the set.
Yeah.
And make sure they get saved.
I don't need to worry. I've got the record.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But not everything I've got is in my library.
It's in your library, right? Yeah.
I've had it for years, and the other thing is that after that is the second music thing, and that's with the ex-bridge players. They can't come on Monday. So, anyway, and it's a different program, totally different. I usually take requests as to what they want. And then we got the serial drama, and I've been playing things like the All Creatures Great and Small as a vet thing up in Yorkshire.
The Yorkshire vet,
yes, and and the other Minder
book, James Harriet book,
yes,
yeah.
And I'm coupling that with Minder. They're both about an hour long each. And well, I've got all these other as well. The Minder was just one we started up recently.
Dr. Finley's Casebook was
there's another one. I chose the Yorkshire, the other Yorkshire one, because it was more. It's there's a lot more action in it, and it's quite funny. It's just interesting. Whereas Dr. Finley's Casebook was just one.
That's the Scottish one.
Yeah, yeah. They were both up in the Yorkshire area.
No, no. Dr. Finley, that's Scottish.
Oh no, yeah, it was just over the border.
Well, no, Yorkshire's a fair bit south of the border.
Is it? Oh. I drove out from
Durham.
No, well, I actually went down. I didn't. I came down from Edinburgh, and I followed the south part of the inlet, and got over to the first town in Yorkshire, over up the hill. What's that? Is it York? I'm not sure.
Well, York is near the centre of Yorkshire, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that's all right. Anyway, we're just about out of time. So, do you have one or two other groups that you haven't mentioned, or have we?
Oh, I'm trying to conjure up another group called Big Bands, and I'm busy collecting material for that now, and that'll be there.
Glenn Miller and all those.
Yeah, I love those old bands, the Glenn Miller band and things.
Okay, well, and Billy Cotton.
And Billy Cotton, tremendous. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So you're a major contributor to the University of the Third Age with all those groups, you know?
Am I?
Yes.
Obviously.
Okay. Well.
Oh, we had a good peep show. We had this mass in the last video one. We had what they call a flash mob.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and the whole thing was just this flash mob. It was tremendous.
A modern one.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Just it's called flash mobs, and they went all over Europe.
Where suddenly something starts, a performance starts in the middle of it. Yep.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.